Thank you, Anna. That was beautiful. I want to welcome you this morning on behalf of my brothers and myself to the house of the Lord on this day the Lord has created for us. And I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Father, who is God of all. I debated about many different ones, scriptures that I might bring today. I did see that my son had written in the bulletin about the theme for this week, and it's Mosiah chapter 8. In Mosiah chapter 8, Abinadi was saying to his people and trying to teach them, and he said that they couldn't salvation would not come just because of the law of Moses. Just because they kept carnal commandments didn't mean that they would have salvation. And it's soon that the God himself would come and provide that atonement that would save them in the end. And of course, we all know that his name was Jesus Christ. He came to save us all. And it's through him our salvation is guaranteed as long as we keep the commandments and do his will and endure to the end. And it's my prayer and my testimony that he is alive today and he is here with us. His spirit abides with us. And I pray that it will touch your heart and your mind this day, that you might share the good news with all those around you and all those that you come in contact with. I give praise, honor, and glory to his name, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that each of us has to come to this, your holy house. I would pray, Heavenly Father, for my brother Mike, as he would bring forth your words this morning, and that which he has prepared. I would pray that each one of us might hear and be inspired because of your goodness and your graciousness. I would pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit might be here in abundance with us this morning, that each one may receive of that good Spirit. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
We are told in the Scriptures to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We are also told behold, this is your work, to keep my commandments, yea, with all your might, mind, and strength. And then it says, when men should keep all my commandments, Zion should again come to the earth. Enoch made a covenant with God on stewardship. And part of that stewardship is giving to the poor and giving unto the support of his church in the financial states that we need it in. So, as you have freely received, so shall you freely give. As stated here in Jacob chapter 2, verse 24, after you have obtained a hope in Christ, you shall obtain riches. If you seek them, you shall seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer the relief to the sick and the afflicted. Will you bow your heads? Our dear and gracious loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the safety that we have received and the opportunity and blessings which we have received in this land to be able to give unto thee and for the support of thy church and for thy ministry. Please continue to grant us the strength for pure religion that we might help those who are in need and who are afflicted. We pray this in the name of the only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
chosen two scriptures for my scripture reading this morning. The first one is from the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. And the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I hope you've been listening and the thoughts that have been shared and the music provided. I think you've already heard my sermon. Thank you, Anna and Sherilyn. Those couldn't have been more perfect selections. God will take care of you, and He leadeth me. It's that simple. God has given us such a beautiful morning to come and worship. I hope that we're not the only ones that pulled in the parking lot and oohed and awed at that red maple tree. Couldn't take my eyes off of it. That thing's on fire. Just a little token of God's love and His creativity. Thank you, Lord, for sharing your beauty. This past Thursday, we celebrated Veterans Day. And what a joy that was. I am so grateful for the veterans. And if Harry doesn't mind, I'd like our veterans to stand, if that'd be okay. Just to be recognized. If you could, stand. I just want to thank you for your service, for your commitment to our country. And I hope that that we will get an opportunity to thank each one individually. You can be seated. When I was in high school, I had the privilege of going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And what an experience that was. And I know our brother Paul Frenstall could share all kinds of details about that as he was a part of that, the old guard, I think they're called. What an inspiring thing that they do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This year was the 100th year anniversary when that began. And I think it's been at least 70 years that it has been on guard nonstop. What an amazing thing. You know, those guards, they ask for two things when you go and witness the changing of the guard. They ask for silence and to remain standing. And they make sure that those are enforced out of respect for those that gave their lives and were not returned home so their families could mourn and honor them. It wasn't too long ago when we had my father's memorial service. And just last spring, we went to Tracy's dad's memorial, and it was held up in Omaha at the a national cemetery. It looks very similar in design as to Arlington, with the same tombstones. And I just love the respect that is paid. Every detail is important. The folding of the flag, the gun salute, the playing of taps, the honor that is given. I can't help but be moved every time I hear that. And so we thank you for your service. You know, the greatest miracles are preceded by great tribulation. The children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians for 430 years to the day of their Exodus. For comparison, our nation is only 245 years old. So you think of all the generations that grew up in that situation, knowing no different. The Lord gave Moses, who was 80 years old at the time, and his brother Aaron, who was 83, charge to declare to Pharaoh to let my people go. The initial request was for a three-day journey into the wilderness so that they could sacrifice unto the Lord and to hold a feast. And what did Pharaoh do? He hardened his heart. And he increased the burdens upon the enslaved Israelites. He required of them to make the same number of bricks per day while going to get their own straw for the brick mixture. This was an impossible task, and he knew it. The officers of the children of Israel were beaten because they could not meet the demand. The conditions of the Israelites went from bad to worse. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, we read, "Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." That sounds great, doesn't it? And the response of the children of Israel was discouragement. It says that they did not hearken unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. You see, their souls were defeated. The Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh. And Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me?" And the Lord said many times that he would move with a strong hand and great judgments. So this morning we're going to spend a little time going through what these strong judgments were. So if you're taking notes, we're going to discuss a little bit about these 10 plagues that were inflicted upon the Egyptians. Number one, the waters of Egypt were turned to blood. In the streams, the rivers, the ponds, the pools, even in their vessels, the waters were turned to blood. Now, do you suppose the fish survived in that? Nope, they sure didn't. The fish died. And they began to stink, you can imagine. And so the Egyptians had to dig around about the river for water to drink. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Number two, the Lord caused frogs to come up throughout all the land. In their houses, upon their beds, amidst their food prep, if you can imagine. Also upon all the Egyptian people. Now, I'm not really a fan of frogs. Some of you might be. I really don't care for their squishy texture. And I would rather avoid them. When I was, much younger, I think this was the first camp that we started up in Iowa. And I don't see Amy here this morning, but Amy Brown was there as one of my campers, believe it or not. There's not that much difference in age, but that's the way it was. We had what I would call a local plague of frogs that summer. And we showered down in the basement of a house. And I remember you could hardly step without stepping on a frog. And so I was gingerly, you know, trying to avoid them. And I would find a spot that it wasn't there. And then the frog would jump under my foot. And, you know, it was inevitable. And you could see traces of frogs that had undergone that tragedy. And so they were left there. Of course, the kids weren't going to pick them up. And so it was that way throughout the whole week. I remember during our, I can't think of the word, during our exercises, we'll say, throughout the day, we had frog races. And I remember Amy chose the prize frog, and it was called Spot. I don't know how I remember these things, but she had the victorious frog. So I'm sure that experience pales in comparison. It would be an understatement for me to say that I would be freaked out a little bit to be amidst all these frogs. Pharaoh asked Moses to stop the plague. The frogs died, and they were gathered in heaps, and the land began to stink. Pharaoh hardened his heart again. The Lord instructed Aaron to smite the dust of the land with his rod, that it became lice. So number one was the water to blood. Number two, frogs. Number three, lice upon all the land. All the dust became lice upon all the people and beasts. We know how disruptive one case of lice is in our camps and schools. I can only imagine how awful and itchy that would be. Nevertheless, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Number four, the Lord caused swarms of flies to come upon all the land. Now, this is the first plague where it's recorded that he divided the Egyptians from the Israelites, the Israelites. And so the flies only swarmed the Egyptians. So I don't know, it's possible that the Israelites had to suffer those initial plagues. But this one, the Lord made it so that they were divided, that the Israelites were protected from these swarms of flies. Pharaoh said, "Sacrifice to your God in this land." Now the negotiating has begun. Moses replied, "No, that does not meet the Lord's demand." Pharaoh then said, "If you stop the swarm of flies, I will let you go sacrifice, but just don't go that far away." Moses entreated the Lord. The swarms departed. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Number five, the Lord caused a grievous disease to come upon the beasts of Egypt. The scriptures refer to it as a Moran. All the cattle of Egypt died. None of the cattle of the Israelites died. I found it interesting that the Israelites owned cattle. They apparently had property, and their cattle were protected. Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Lord commanded Moses to take handfuls of ashes and sprinkle them toward heaven before Pharaoh. The ashes became dust that caused the Egyptian people and their beasts that remained to be inflicted with boils. Number 6 was the plague of boils. Nevertheless, Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Lord caused it to rain a grievous hail, number 7, the likes of which had never been seen before. It says that fire mingled with the hail and ran along upon the ground. Now, I can only imagine that that was, from my understanding, some type of lightning, which if you've seen lightning up close, it is definitely fire. Their crops and their trees were destroyed. Animals were destroyed that were left in the fields. No hail upon the children of Israel. Pharaoh tells Moses that he will let the people go if the hail stops. The hail stopped, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Number 8. The Lord caused locusts to come in to their coasts. Locusts consumed whatever remained from the destroyed crops, as well as the trees. Not a green thing remained. Now, I probably wouldn't be a fan of the locusts either. The locusts filled the house of the Egyptians. I know in our house, when we see one bug, it is announced. And everybody knows. Locusts covered the earth, so much so that the earth could not be seen. That would not be pleasant. Pharaoh repented and said that he would let the men go have their feast. The Lord caused the locusts to be cast into the sea until none were left. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Number 9, the Lord caused darkness to come upon the land of the Egyptians for the space of 3 days. The darkness was so thick that it could be felt. Does that sound familiar? In the Book of Mormon? The Egyptians did not move from their place, nor could they see one another. The Israelites, on the other hand, had light in their dwellings. Pharaoh said, "Go with your people." See, here's him negotiating again. "Keep your flocks and herds here." Moses said that the flocks and herds must go with them that they may sacrifice. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh told Moses to get out and to see his face no more. Well, that sounded pretty good to Moses. Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face no more." The Lord instructed the Israelites to spoil the Egyptians of their raiment, their jewels of gold and silver, which by this time the Egyptian people were more than happy to oblige. The final plague was that the destroying angel would go out about midnight, and all the firstborn in the land would die, both of people and of beasts. A great cry went out around the land. The Israelites were protected, as we know, by the lamb's blood that was upon the doorposts of their dwellings, a type and shadow of the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Pharaoh hardened his heart. When it was discovered that every house of the Egyptians had suffered death of their firstborn, including the house of Pharaoh, that night, Pharaoh finally commanded Moses and Aaron to gather their people and their possessions and depart. He didn't just let them go. He commanded them to go. The Egyptian people were eager for them to leave. 600,000 men plus women and children who were once captive were liberated and set free by the strong hand of the Lord. The Lord led them toward the Red Sea, not toward the Philistines, as it is noted, because I think the Lord knew that if they had gone the short way toward the Philistines, that the Israelite people, when they met those Philistines, there would have been war. And I think he knew that they would have rather returned to Egypt to be enslaved than to fight. The Israelites encamped by the Red Sea. Pharaoh hardened his heart and pursued them with all his armies, including 600 chariots. The Israelites were trapped and sore afraid and cried out to the Lord and murmured to Moses. They said, "For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." After all those things that they had witnessed, their faith was weak. All they could see was this body of water in front of them and the armies of the Egyptians pursuing them, and they feared. But Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Of course, we know the rest of the story. Moses said, "See the salvation of the Lord," and the waters parted. And the Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Lord knew that Pharaoh would overplay his hand. And so Pharaoh took his armies, his chariots, and pursued the children of Israel into that Red Sea. And when the children crossed, the waters came back and destroyed the Egyptian armies. You see, the Lord not only protected his people, but he destroyed their enemy. Brothers and sisters, we are living in unusual times. Do you ever feel burdened or in bondage? We are burdened as people by indebtedness. It's hard to get out of debt. And I believe that is by design. Interest rates are low. Let's borrow more. And we get on, you know, on the hook. And you find out when you buy your first house that it takes years to make any headway on the principal, when up front you're paying mostly the interest on the loan. And before you know it, you have to buy another house and continue to pay interest on that loan. Our banking system is not designed for you and me, but for the system to keep us in bondage. And our government says we can just print more money. The value of our money goes down, making it harder to pay our debts. Where they feel they can continue to tax us and have reason to do that, putting us under more burden. Perhaps we find ourselves burdened by sin, sins that we cannot escape or we struggle to. Or just the burden and the pressures of living, those things that get us down. It is easy to get discouraged and to feel defeated. And if at any time last week you felt that way, you're not alone. We are under attack. And we have been most of our lives. We have a common enemy, and he attacks us with temptations and enticements, with lies and fear and deceit. Just like Pharaoh, evil never gives up, nor does it just go away, but it must be defeated. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. We read this promise: "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And this is how he is going to be cast down: "For they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their own lives, but kept the testimony even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Are you valiant in testimony? Are you fighting with that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? You know, the evil does not like truth. I don't know if you've ever witnessed this in your life. When you share truth, sometimes it gets attacked. Don't let that discourage you. Truth must be shared. Your testimony of Jesus must be shared. Doctrine and Covenants 98:5e. "And in that day," and this is the day when the veil of the earth shall be removed, "Satan shall not have power to tempt any man. And there shall be no sorrow because there is no death." I look forward to that day. We know that the victory has already been won through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He will fight and win our battles if we keep his commandments and endure faithfully to the end. I look forward to seeing him move with his strong hand to preserve his people according to his covenants in these latter days. Do you think the Israelites could have envisioned that the sea would part? You see, we have the benefit of knowing the story. But if you put yourself into that situation, what would you think? Where would your faith be? The Lord will not leave His people. He will not bring us to this point that we would be destroyed. He will set us free, and has through His Son. We should never underestimate the power and ability of God to preserve His people. We must simply remain faithful and endure to the end. Another scripture of promise that I love is in Romans chapter 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can prevail against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The greatest miracles are preceded by great tribulation. We will likely have more tribulation ahead of us. But I am looking forward to witnessing the Lord's mighty miracles in our day. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him? He has prepared some things for you that we could not even begin to imagine. Just like the Israelites could not even imagine that the waters of the Red Sea would be divided, that they would be set free, and their enemies put to death. It's important that we press on with our eyes focused on the prize, that kingdom of God. Oftentimes, I imagine in my mind myself being near the top of a mountain. And those of you that have climbed mountains can relate to this. When you're getting up close and you're in high elevation, the air is light, the grade is steep. And I remember thinking, every 6 inches gets me that much closer. Just keep moving. Every step gets us that much closer. Keep enduring. I'd like to... This song came to my mind as I was preparing. Hymn number 350. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I've found, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And in closing, just a couple more scriptures to encourage us on our way. John 16, 21, 22. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. May the Lord bless you in your pressing onward to that great kingdom.
Father, we are thankful today of the knowledge that you have given us. And we do not fear, for we know who wins this battle. It is you. We thank you for all that you have given us, for our history, for the loved ones that have given us this freedom and help preserve your word. So we may we go and in remembrance of you and thy love this day. In Jesus' name, amen.